Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing, both in our midst and around the world. Father God, we thank you that tonight, for each and every one of us that is here, we thank you, Father, that you will speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. We thank you, Father, that we'll be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that the word will be life-changing to us. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation, revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. Father God, we just thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you today for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak what you want us to speak today. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that it will saturate each and every one of us. And we thank you, Father, once again, for in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. He's always good all the time. And I tell you what, you know, it is amazing I didn't actually get to see the game. I was obviously driving. But I know the NFC Championship game was an incredible game. I won't tell you exactly who won in case some of you might be DVRing it. But I will tell you what's amazing is to see these athletes that are giving praise to God. You know, I was just on one of the quarterbacks' account and on their Twitter feed, and man, that you know, all his feeds are about how good God is. And you know, one thing he actually before the game today, he actually quoted said you know, about the Lord's keeping me in perfect peace. You know, it's just amazing, you know, how good God is. But it is amazing about the platform that some of these professional athletes and other people have to be able to spread God's word, because you know what, they can really spread the good news faster than us ministers, us Christians, you know, because they have a big platform, and it's awesome to see that. And, you know, and I think one of the greatest things to see some of these athletes is, you know, is giving praise to God and honor to God and not to themselves, especially after big wins and things like that. But it's awesome. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about healing. Obviously, we know that you should know that we believe here in healing. We believe it's God's will to heal you, and we actually believe that you are already healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. See, we believe you already were healed. And that's one thing that you need to get it across your head, that you were healed. Because a lot of times whenever you're facing sickness or disease, you don't feel like you were healed. In fact, most people that I found out that sick, they don't talk about, they don't, most people, not all, everyone, they don't say they were healed. They talk about how they are sick. Well, how can you were being healed and are being sick? I mean, that doesn't make sense. You either have to be one or the other. You either are or you were. All right? And were is past tense. It means it's already been done. Now, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he died upon the cross for your healing. And we need to understand that by his stripes, we were healed. And the reason I'm telling you that right now, you know, hopefully that you're not sick, but we need to remind ourselves when we're not sick that we were healed. Because I tell you what, it's hard, you know, to fight the good fight of faith whenever you get sick. You know, you need to build your faith up before you need to use your faith. Many people only get out the healing scriptures whenever they get sick. They only get out the faith scriptures whenever they need to believe God for finances or whatever it might be. But we should continually build ourselves up on faith. Because without faith, you can't even please God, what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. You know, we have to have faith. In fact, understand, if you don't have faith, you can't be saved. Because if you don't have faith, you can't believe in Jesus. And if you can believe in Jesus, surely you, and because if you are a born-again Christian, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for, you know, to save you. But we didn't just die to save you, we also died to heal you. And we have to understand that one of his sole purposes to come to the earth was to heal you. And it's God's will that you are healed. You know, there are times whenever I'm facing different situations in my life, my family's life, you know, and sometimes we all have pity parties. Anybody had a pity party? You know, when maybe we say things we shouldn't say. I'm not talking about, you know, being mean to people. I'm talking about, you know, lack of faith statements sometimes, you know. Well, I'm just feeling terrible, you know, all these kind of stuff. You know, but what happens, and the more it happens, the more you change your conversation, the way you talk, because every time I start having one of these lack of faith statements, it starts rising up, you know, faith starts coming up on the inside of me, like, I don't mean that. You know, because it's not about how I feel, it's about what Jesus did. Right. See, we're not supposed to be moved by how we feel. But many times, we get moved by how we feel. You know, and we let our guard down. But remember, one of my favorite scriptures, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. One of the reasons Jesus came was we had an abundant life. And part of having an abundant life is having a healthy life. It's no fun to be sick. It's no fun to be in a hospital bed. It's no fun to be in your, you know, someone maybe it's fun to be in your bed to rest. It's no fun to be glued down to your bed and can't even move because you're so sick. You know, and that's not God's best. And that's not what he intended for us to have. He intended for us to have health. He intended for us to be healthy. In fact, Acts 10:38, most of you can quote it, but I'll go ahead and turn there. Acts 10:38, the Bible says this. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You know, now you understand, and it says, who went about doing good. Now I always say that's one of the big reasons most of us Christians, we don't start out doing good. First thing we should do is do good. Well, you know, now I don't mean that someone say, well, that's just a do-gooder. I'm talking about be a nice person. Be a kind of person that you want to hang around. Talking about the same athlete I was talking about earlier, another athlete that you might have heard of, actually a race car driver, Danica Patrick, actually tweeted after the game. He said that this particular quarterback is a great role model and a great human being. You know, that's someone that's doing good. Amen. You know, and for us other people to recognize that, you know, not every, you know, average person gets to meet this athlete on a one-to-one basis, and you know, because you know what you see on TV doesn't necessarily mean who the person really is. Do you realize that stars, athletes, and even ministers put on a personification on TV that's different from who they really are? You know, but Jesus was the real deal. He was the real deal. He was like, you know, he needed to be. And for us to be like Jesus is to be the real deal. You know, but it says that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now Jesus said, the things that I did, and greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. You know, and so, you know, it's if he went about healing, you know, the sick, then really the Bible says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. So we can minister to the sick. But something else, though, if it's his will to heal the sick, it's also his will for you to be healed. All right? You know, it says over Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he went about doing good and he went about healing the sick in the Bible, he still has the same mentality today. You know, and it's his will that you be healed. You know, and so sometimes that we need to watch what we say when we don't feel good. You know, because anyone can talk a good game when they're not playing the game. You know, I mean, you know, you can sit around and talk about how you're the best whatever player in the world, but, you know, sometimes there's a time to put up or shut up. Well, when you face, you know, adversity, that's the time to, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's just to see if you really believe what you believe. Now, Jesus told us the devil is going to attack you. All right? He's going to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's going to attack you in one way, not the only way, but one way the devil will try to attack you is through your health and your family's health. I mean, you know, because that's an easy way to attack people. And so, you know, even my grandfather, he would say it over and over and over again. He said he would, I remember one time, and of course, years change after a while, but he said, well, I haven't had a headache for 38 years. And I'm not sure how many years it was, before, you know, but I remember one time I hadn't had a headache for 38 years. But then he went on to say, but I've passed up many marvelous opportunities. Now, people don't listen to that. They're saying, well, this guy never gets headaches. Well, I can't be like him. I can't act like Brother Hagin because I get headaches. In fact, I get around my wife and I get a headache. I'm just joking. That's a big joke. Maybe it's your husband. I don't know. You know, maybe it's just your kids. Been there, done that. You know, got the T-shirt. But the fact of the matter is, when he says, I passed up many marvelous opportunities, he's saying there were times in his life when his head hurt. All right. And then, but what he did was he goes, I'm not going to take that symptom. I'm not going to accept that. You know, because healing belongs to me. Headaches don't belong to me. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for me to have headaches. And back to one of the things that I've, many times when I face adversity, I said, you know what? Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to have that. Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to have a headache. He didn't die on the cross for me to have the flu. That wasn't his intention. When he died on the cross, he intended for me to live without pain. He intended for me to be healthy. You know, but his intention was only his intention because I have been given a free will thanks to Adam and Eve. All right, I have a free will, and I can either accept my healing or I can have a headache. Now, so, you know, we always believe, when we, on our offering prayer, we pray for good opportunities coming our way. Well, sometimes you have bad opportunities coming your way as well. And, you know, and you can take a bad opportunity. And sometimes what happens is that when we put our, you know, we put the shield of faith down, you know, actually, when we're talking about our armor, it's one thing that says, above all, take the shield of faith. You know, and some of you that know that our logo is the faith shield. You know, we believe in having the shield of faith to quench the enemy's fiery darts. Well, what is a fiery dart? Well, that's where the devil is going to try to steal, to kill, and destroy you. And what are you going to have to come back with them in? Our shield is actually the word. All right? That's our shield. We have to know the word. Now, our grandfather always said this. He says, the number one reason why people do not get healed, and actually you can even change, you know, say the number one reason why people do not get their needs met, is because they don't know the word. All right? Because if you don't know the word, you can't be a doer of the word. You can't act on the word. You have nothing to come against the devil when you don't, you know, so people perish because of lack of knowledge. We have to know the word. We have to know what God's word said. And we see that example in Jesus whenever, you know, he was tempted. You know, I mean, people, well, he wasn't really tempted. He was the Son of God. No, he lived a life on earth as a man, and he was tempted just like we're tempted. Many times we get tempted. A lot of times we let that temptation take over. But thank God for his saving and forgiveness, amen, his mercy and his grace, that he puts us right back to where we you know, maybe don't belong, but where we get to have. You know, our God is so good, it's not what we deserve, it's what he wants us to have. It's his desire for us. And it's his desire for us to be healed. It's his desire for us to be totally healed. His desire for us to walk in health. And his desire is for us to pass up marvelous opportunities to get the flu. To pass up marvelous opportunities to get a headache. To pass up marvelous opportunities to get cancer. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be times and challenges where the devil is trying to put that on you. You know, and the way my grandfather always would, he would actually say, Mr. Devil, you don't have any right or no authority to put that on me. Because Jesus took that authority. And in the name of Jesus, these symptoms have to leave. You know, one thing that Brother Hagin always says is that God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now see, you know, if you knew the man like I knew the man, when he says something, he means it. And if he says, you know, that it's over, I mean, you know, and I'm talking in real life, if there were things, you know, to talk about or whatever, whenever he's done talking, says it's over, he don't want to talk about it anymore. So when he says it's settled, he's done talking. There is no, you know, my grandfather's also one of the most stubborn men you ever know, all right? You can never change his mind. You know, I'm talking not just spiritually, I'm talking about naturally. If he believes it one way, it's always good. That's the way he, you know, that's why he used to love to debate people. You know, say back in his younger years, he would debate anyone who wanted to debate about the scriptures. But then after a while, he found out that debating did nothing. Because after the end of the debate, they believe what they believed before they came in the debate. I believe what I believe, and we don't settle anything. Now, it's different for something if there's someone who's open-minded and want to discuss and want to find out, you know, what do you believe, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to mold their beliefs. That's a different situation. But debating, you know, one person has one side, the other person has, there's no winners in debating. You know, and that's why, you know, there are people, obviously, that believe differently than we do. I mean, I don't try to change their views because I'm not going to. You know, I'm not going to, you know, only God can change their mind. All right? But the thing about it is that we have to understand that we have the right to be healed. Even in the middle of flu season. Because, you know, this is one of the worst flu seasons ever. You know, and a lot of times what happens is we listen to some, well, this is where everybody's getting the flu. Everybody at my school, everyone in my daycare, everyone in my work is getting the flu. And sometimes that we glorify, you know, a sickness more than we glorify God. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, everyone's getting this or, you know, I like to read over 91st Psalms. What was it, 1,000 will fall to the right side, 10,000 left, whatever. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. If everyone's going to jump off a cliff, you're going to jump off too? I mean, you know, what does it matter what everybody else is getting? Everybody has the same right not to get the flu. You know, that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that they could be healed as well. Unfortunately, they didn't take that marvelous opportunity to not get the flu. Now, if you're going to be like Brother Hagin did, to pass up many marvelous opportunities, you're going to have a time when you wake up and you feel like you have the flu. And so you have to decide, do you have the flu or does the flu have you or what's going on here? Now, just as quick as you can get the flu, you can get rid of the flu. How do you do that? By your faith. You know, by standing. You know, but the thing about it is that most people, it seems that sickness is a lot easier to defeat your you know, people put their guards down more on sickness than even when it's a financial situation, people don't put their guard down as fast. Because for whatever reason, when it comes to finances, we always, I mean, nobody ever, I mean, I'm going to say something that most of you probably have thought, but no one's ever told you this. But most of the time when it's been a financial situation, when you're believing God for finances, you've always thought, well, it's going to take a little bit of time. It won't be an overnight thing. No, but here's something else. That's wrong to think that. Because God can do more in a second than you can, you know, you can do in an eternity. And so we shouldn't get that, you know, that's a bad thought to have. But many of us think that when it comes to finances, well, it might take a bit, you know, send the old Lord sweet timing, praise God, but he'll come through, you know. But the thing about it is when it comes to sickness and disease, you know, we kind of, well, we're going to get it now or we're not going to get it. And then when we don't get an instant healing, we get mad. You know, but people don't get mad when they don't get an instant financial blessing because they don't believe to have it instantly anyway. You know, but what happens is when it comes to healing, we get mad because sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, whenever they got the flu, all of a sudden, 2 hours later, they were completely well. And you, it's been 3 days and you're still battling. What's the difference? I don't know, but I don't know the difference. I don't know, but I will know most of the time if I can hang around you long enough, I can tell you what the problem is. Most of the time it's because you get on Facebook, man, this flu stuff really is terrible. It's been terrible. I mean, it just got me down. I mean, I can't even move. The Bible says you can have what you say. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of times we say a lot of things we don't really want because what we're doing, we're describing what we're having right now, not what we're wanting. And sometimes you need to speak what you want to have, not what you're having. You have to determine that you have been healed even when you feel like you're sick. You know, and we know what the word says, that we're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're only moved by what we believe. And we believe that Jesus Christ took those stripes on his back. And, you know, and I actually, in thinking about that day, do you realize that Jesus could have died on the cross without taking stripes on his back? You know, but I believe that he went the extra mile to take care of your sickness. Because it says, the Bible clearly says, by his stripes. Well, the stripes actually were not on the cross. That was before the cross. You know, and so he took those stripes. And, you know, in taking those stripes, I think there's also a reference. You know, every time he took a stripe on his back, it hurt. That was pain. You know, and Jesus wasn't, you know, he didn't suddenly become, you know, have no feelings, suddenly get numb so he didn't feel the pain. He felt the pain, all right? But every time he felt the pain, he took that pain so you don't have to have pain. You know, I know sometimes you act like a pain, but you don't have to have pain. Because he didn't die on the cross. He didn't take the stripes on him. He didn't take that pain for you to have pain. He took that pain for you to have healing. But we have to accept what we have. We have to know what we have. And we have to accept what we have. And I'm really going a lot different than what I really plan to do. But praise God. You know, God's a good God. Amen. I mean, he always has a word for us, and a good word. Now, what I really wanted to come to talk to you today about, because something I've actually had some conversations with some people on what we believe this week, I wanted to talk to you about modern medicine, doctors. You know, and because a lot of people feel they think that we are against doctors. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. Now, you know, especially if you knew my grandfather, he was never against doctors. Now, you know, if we were against doctors, we wouldn't let Brian come to church. Dr. Brian Snell right here, he's a doctor. All right, a real doctor. I mean, you know, he just didn't get the doctor. You know, he didn't become a, because anyone can become an internet doctor. I found that out. I mean, if you have enough money that you want to pay, then you can get sent in the mail a doctor certificate, and you can be, you know, Dr. Doodad, whatever, you know, whatever. He's a real doctor. He actually went to school a long time and suffered many things of, you know, many physicians, and, you know, rather got worse than, I mean, and racked up a lot of bills. You know, some of you can relate that went to school a long time, but you probably didn't go to school as long as he went to school. But we're not against doctors. And, you know, my grandfather always said this, said, you know, the modern medicine, you know, like I said, people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, for us to have the most knowledge to, you know, to be able to do what we can in the natural to help a body heal. Well, God's not against healing. And doctors, you know, are for you and not against you. I've never gone to a doctor and said, well, we're not trying to get healed here, so don't take your medicine or whatever. You know, all knowledge comes from above. You know, whether or not that they acknowledge where the knowledge come from, because then, see, it doesn't matter that they acknowledge it or not. I don't care what they believe. What is true is knowledge comes from above. You know, and many times people think that we are against doctors, but we're not. Over in Hosea's in the Old Testament for some of you that don't know where Hosea is. I'm sure many of you probably read Hosea a lot. But Hosea 4:6 says this. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And, you know, to go to a doctor is to gain knowledge of what's wrong with your body. I believe personally in, you know, having the best faith target that I could have. And in order to target my faith, properly, I have to find out what's wrong with me. And the best example I can even talk about is a gentleman that I know. That, you know, I'm not sure if he's actually still alive anymore. He doesn't live around Tulsa anymore. But this guy had what he thought were heart pains, and for whatever reason, he wouldn't go to the doctor because he was afraid what he might hear. You know, so, which this sounds kind of stupid anyway. So what, are you going to die while you're afraid that for the report that you might get? Now, first of all, I don't think the guy was in faith because he was afraid. Fear and faith cannot live in your body at the same time. You're either going to have fear or you're going to have faith. Because fear is because you have a lack of faith. Because faith is an unquestioning belief. Fear is questioning what everything's happening in your body. So he was afraid, you know, to go to a doctor to find out what was wrong with him. Once his wife convinced him that he might die, he might want to go to a doctor, and he went to the doctor and find out he was not dealing with heart pains. He was dealing with heartburn. He was dealing with stomach issues. And the stomach issues actually were fairly serious, but they were causing some of the same symptoms that, you know, people that have heart stuff. And sometimes, I tell you what, now this is going to date me, and some of you guys might be older than me, but there was a show whenever I was young on the air called Sanford and Son. Anyone ever remember that? And Fred Sanford, how many times, you know, ever, things would get stressful. Oh, he started holding his heart. You know, and so he would, you know, because, you know, when he didn't want to talk about something, whenever, that was his way out. Now, what's more ironic is the actor who played him died of a heart attack. You know, I'm not trying to go there because I understand an actor, he's just playing a role. But, you know, I think his role was probably a real life thing that he did on his own, you know, a lot of times in life. I mean, I think that got adapted to the script. But, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, when we're having issues, it's no problem to go to the doctor. In fact, my dad has a saying, the natural and the supernatural coming together, make an explosive force for God. Now, most people actually take that, you know, is you know, human belief and natural belief. But, you know, having knowledge of what the doctor says and using medicine as well as our faith coming together makes things more powerful. Now, the great John Osteen, and for many of you who now you have to say it's Joel's dad, he was talking about one time, and someone got on to him for he was taking some heart medicine. And he says, you know what? He says, I take this medicine every day because it's going to keep me alive while God heals me. See, his medicine wasn't a lack of faith. And in fact, I've told people many times, you can use your medicine as a tool every time you take. Thank you, Father, I'll no longer have to take this medicine ever again. Thank you, Father, the healing power of God is working in my body. But you know, doctors who are also for us, you know, they have medicine that we can take. And my grandfather was always for medicine. In fact, my grandfather, whenever the City of Faith Hospital opened in Tulsa for combining faith with medicine, he thought that was one of the best things ever. And he always talked about that over and over and over again. And then, you know, unfortunately for whatever reason that they closed down, but he always mentioned about the Cancer Research Center of America. We have a branch there in Tulsa. And at that Cancer Research Center, they have allowed us, actually when they first came in, because many people would come from all over the world to come to cancer research, but then some people also came to our healing school, and they saw people getting healed of cancer, because you know our healing school at Rhema, one of the number one things that we've seen healings are is terminal cancer. And so because of that, they asked us to come to their center and actually teach a healing school at that hospital. And you know, and they advertise that they are whipping cancer in every area. And they talk about in the spiritual realm as well. And they acknowledge that there is a spiritual belief, and that's one area. And there's many doctors that acknowledge that same thing. And so doctors aren't against you, they're for you. And so what I'm trying to tell you is don't be afraid to go see a doctor. You don't think, well, that's a lack of faith. It's not a lack of faith. It can be a faith tool. It can help you target what you have and what you need and how you pray. I mean, many times, I mean, I've even seen my grandfather many times whenever he's, you know, there are a lot of times we have big healing lines and we just pray for her. There are some times that he asks people individually, well, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's interesting, kind of funny, because many Christians don't want to actually say what's really wrong with them. And he said, no, I'm healed. But said, no, I understand where your faith is, but what the doctor say is wrong with you? You know, and they would begin to say what, because see, when you know what's wrong with you, you know what to believe God for. You know what to believe God for. And I'm going to, you know, I'll use Dr. Snell again. I mean, many times when we face situations, when I'm in the hospital with people and they have some issues with head injuries and with the brain, I've actually called Dr. Snell and talked to him about where they're at and asked him, what do we need to believe God for? What kind of signs do we need to believe God for, you know, for this person to recover? You know, and a lot of times I'll ask him, I said, I want a medical opinion. I don't want your spiritual, you know, what you spiritually believe. I want a medical opinion on how possible it is in the medical realm. Now, see, just because what the medicine says should not affect my faith. And that's where people mess up because, see, it's okay to go see a doctor. It's not okay to get in fear because you go see a doctor. It's not okay to get in fear because you get diagnosed with cancer. That's not okay. All right? You know, because being diagnosed is no different than sitting around thinking you have it, not knowing whether you have it or not. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're there, I might have cancer. I don't know if I have cancer. You know, but to have it, to being diagnosed, at least you have a knowledge of what's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with having a knowledge, you know, but just because you have a knowledge, what do you believe? Whose report are you going to believe? All right. But it's okay to have a knowledge. Like I said, people die because of lack of knowledge. People perish. Now, one of our keynote scriptures here at this ministry, Mark 11:24, reading from the actual King James Version, because I like it the best, the King James, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But I like the words that says, what things soever ye desire, or you desire. The reason I like that word is because I've seen people in life that when they desire to have something, I mean, especially, I've done a lot of youth ministry. And when I see these kids that they desire maybe to go on a trip, or maybe they desire to have something, maybe to get a car or whatever, I've seen these kids go and try to do anything they can. Odd jobs. I've even seen some people who have no job decide to take it from somebody else, you know, take from the rich and you know, give to the poor, and they're poor, and you know, whatever. And that's not a good thing. I'm just saying, I've seen people do whatever they can, all right, you know, to get it. Well, you know, doing whatever you can. So I believe if I really desire something, I'm gonna do whatever I can. And one thing that I could do is get natural medicine. That's one thing I can do. And so my question to you, if I'm not doing everything I can, do I really desire it? Because if I desire a well body, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do everything I can. Back to my grandfather, his testimony, whenever he was on his deathbed, you know, he had seen many doctors, and he was under doctor's care. And he got to the scripture, and he said, Jesus, I desire a well body. He said, if you were here in person in front of me, and you said you didn't desire a well body, I'd have to call you a liar. Because I desire a well body more than anything else in this world. Well, if you're at a point of desire a well body, you would do everything you can in the natural. And I think that's one reason why my grandfather always pro-medicine, because he believed in doing everything you can in the natural and let God take care of the rest. Now, many people get all this on a tangent, well, you know, if God can't do it, I'm going to die. You know, I've seen some of those people die. But God can do it. God already did. Jesus already did it. You know, but the thing about it is Jesus is not against medicine. In fact, I don't see any scriptures where Jesus condemned people for seeing the doctor. Anyone have one? You know any scripture where Jesus condemned and said, shame on you for seeing a doctor? In fact, one of the scriptures I preach from a lot, Mark chapter 5, and one of the scriptures, Brother Hagin, probably, you know, I traveled with him a long time, and from a young kid all the way up, and, you know, and this is one of his favorite scriptures to preach from, is Mark chapter 5, the one with the issue of blood. And it starts out that says a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and it was no better, but rather grew worse. Many people, well, they hear that and they say, well, I don't need to see a doctor because, you know, it's not going to help me. No, they're just describing the person's condition. Now, when the lady, when she touched his clothes and she was made whole, you know, Jesus turned around and said, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, you're an idiot, you shouldn't see a doctor, and that, you know, that's why you're sick. Going to the doctor didn't make her any sicker. Now, they couldn't do anything for her. Modern medicine couldn't do anything. Of course, I guess it wasn't really modern medicine back then, but for then it was modern medicine. You know, I mean, she evidently went to the best doctors of her day, and they couldn't do anything about it. But you know what? There are sometimes, even with our, you know, we have so many things in modern medicine you can do, but there are sometimes that say, we can't do anything for you. But that shouldn't be a lack of faith. Because just like, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I'm here to say, son or daughter, your faith makes you whole as well. Because your faith in what Jesus has already done makes you whole. See, we don't have to have Jesus turn around in the press behind and tell us, you know, who touched him. We don't have to touch Jesus. He already touched us 2,000 years ago. He changed our life. He gave us everything that we needed 2,000 years ago. And all we have to do is come and ask and believe and receive. But, you know, sometimes people, you know, they take it out on a doctor or whatever. Or sometimes I've seen, you know, people said, you know, the doctor gives them the report, you know, the facts, and they're almost like, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Almost like they're satanic or whatever, just because they were telling you what the report says. You know, that would be like going to the school, getting your report card, finding you failed the class, and go to the teacher, I bind you in Jesus' name. Well, these are facts. And the deal is, there's nothing wrong with facts. I know, I believe facts are good. I believe that, you know, me of all people, being what I call a Googleologist, I Google things that people would never Google. I mean, I want to find out what something. I get a lot of facts on a lot of different things that are really, you know, I'm probably number one in the useless facts department. I find out facts that have nothing to do with me in life, and I don't even know why. In fact, I take it upon myself for whatever strange reason. My wife always says, you know, doesn't everybody else know how to use a search engine? Because people all the time, I get hit up all the time, texts, emails, whatever. Hey, Craig, can you tell me about, I mean, you know, so I go and find out what they're looking for. And the reason that they go get me, I think one reason is because I'm the smartest person they know. I'm just kidding. Because I'm able to research something and then put it in words so they can actually understand, you know, what's really, you know, the issue. I don't know, but I'm I like to hear facts. I want to, you know, and there's nothing wrong with facts. Do not kill you. Facts just tell you what you know, what the facts are, what the report says. You know, one of my scriptures I actually preach from a lot, and I even mention this every time I pray before I preach. I don't necessarily mention it by scripture in verse, but I refer to 1 Corinthians, like sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Actually, I refer to the first part when Paul talked about he was whenever he came to minister that he didn't know what to say, but praise God that, you know, verse 5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, but so there is man's wisdom. And I believe that we can rely on man's wisdom sometimes, but sometimes we hear man's wisdom is like, you know, well, these are the facts, but that's not where my faith relies. My faith relies on God's power. But it's okay to know the facts. You know, and the great thing about knowing the facts, you realize you can never confirm a miracle if you don't have facts. The great thing about knowing the facts is because my grandfather always said, you know, there's another opportunity to believe God, to trust God, to have faith in God. But whenever you have the facts, you can confirm a miracle. Now here's something that's kind of interesting. When it comes to a financial situation, whether you want the facts or not, you know, your bank account is facts. Your bills from your credit card companies or wherever, those are facts. Whether you want to read them, whether you don't want to read them, they're still a fact. You know, and what are you going to do? You call up Citibank, I bind you, Satan? I was at the mall and all of a sudden the demon of shopping got all over me. You know, and then I went and bought all this stuff, but then the reality of actually paying for it, you know, came in, you know, 3 months later, whenever there's, you know, one thing about Christmas, you know, Christmas and charge cards, I mean, you can have Christmas every month of the year. In fact, you can get next Christmas and you're still paying for last one, you know, because you can charge it. You know, my kids, of course, you know, at a young age, obviously, as they got older, they figured it out. I mean, I remember one time I was talking about, I was, you know, they all wanted something. And I said, you know, well, we can't do that right now. I think I actually told them, you know, after the first of the month I get paid, you know, we'll go ahead, you know, we can buy that. But they didn't want to do it after the first month. They wanted it now. They're saying, Dad, can't you just put it on a credit card? Then you don't have to pay for it. But you do have to pay for it. But some of you have the same mentality. You know, you have childlike faith. Well, put on a credit card, I don't have to pay for it because I'm going to pray that for supernatural debt cancellation is going to come upon this debt, you know, whatever. And so I'm going to pray for wisdom to come upon your head. You know, but our faith should not stand in man's wisdom, but it's okay to have what man's wisdom says. That, you know, the sin, if we're talking about is going to the doctor a sin? No, the only sin, you know, if I call it a sin, is for you to get in fear because you go to a doctor. For you to get in fear because you hear a fact. You know, and that's what happened back in the Old Testament. You know, remember whenever they went to spy out the promised land? Now, here's the deal. If God says this is your land, this land is your land, it isn't their land that they need to get out, you know. But anyway, if there is a land that's called the promised land, that means the land that flows with milk and honey, if it's promised, it belongs to you. Remember they sent the spies in? And most of the spies come back and said, well, it's a great land, but we ain't going to be able to go in that land because we're going to get demolished. Now, these are the same guys that came through on dry land. They came through the Red Sea on dry land. And I've heard people say, some of you may or may not know, you know, one of these useless facts that I haven't done in a long time, but I'm a certified scuba diver. And I used to get some dive magazines, and one of the places people like to dive was the Red Sea, and it was one of the deepest places to go. But for whatever reason, there's been people say, well, somehow, some way that the Lord directed Moses to the place in the Red Sea that was only about 2 feet deep. And so, yeah, it wasn't really that big a deal. And I always say, man, that's the biggest miracle in the Bible. And people say, well, what do you mean? That means the Pharaoh's whole army drowned in 2 feet of water. That's like you drowning in your bathtub. I mean, we're talking about horse. And if I'm in a horse and a chariot, you realize that horse isn't going to be underwater at 2 feet. I'm probably not going to get wet. My chariot's probably high enough. I'm not even going to get wet. And I'm going to perish. So I don't, however you want to slice it, it comes up miracle. But these are the same people that said, we're going to perish. I mean, sometimes I wonder, how can these people not believe? I mean, these are the same people that every morning walked out the door and said, well, you know, most people are going to have to hunt for food or have to plant food, but I just walk out the door and grab it. It just comes down from heaven. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, many people, I've heard people talk about mailbox faith, you know, where people just mail you money and you don't have to do anything or whatever. I mean, imagine every morning getting up, you know, and going to your mailbox and here's your dinner. You have all the food you need, you know, and tomorrow morning you get more food. I mean, that would be awesome. I said, I'm tired of this manna stuff, well, then you can starve with the other kids in China or whatever. I mean, you know, it's, you know, but just like God provided for them, he can provide for you as well. See, a lot of people, you know, we don't understand that God never changes. You know, yeah, he provided for them in the middle of the desert. And these are the same guys that when they went in, you know, and they spied out the land, they're like, well, yeah, but our God's not big enough. Now, they didn't really say that. They didn't say our God's not big enough. But, you know, actions speak louder than words sometimes. You know, the two of the younger ones are saying, let's go take the land, because they're probably tired of being in the desert. This is a good land, you know, but it's the same thing when it comes to our healing. We've been promised health. It belongs to us. Let's just go take it. Yeah, but some people give us a bad report. It's not about the report. It's about what you believe. What you believe. I'll leave you with one more verse from the Old Testament. I talk about it a lot. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So your own understanding, when you go to a doctor and they give you a report, you know, it's not about what you understand. It's about, you know, okay, you know, I'll use a sickness report that says, okay, this is what the doctor says I have. But I'm not moved by what the doctor says I have. But because I know what he says I have, I know what to believe God for. I know how to believe. I know where to put my faith. I know where to put my trust. And ultimately, putting our faith and our trust in him. But you know what? I like to be able to pray. Natural, supernatural coming together. You know, it says, you know, I pray, you know, I believe in God that this is going to take place. that the heart's going to come in line, that this is going to be, you know, happen like it needs to be. So if my whole point tonight was to talk about that doctors are not against you, they're for you. You can use doctors, you can use medicine as a tool. All right? Because many people get confused and they're saying, well, you know, I'm anti-doctors. Well, but you know, if you're anti-doctors, that's just, in my own opinion, that's just like saying, well, I'm for God blessing me financially, but he can't use these people. Now, he can use these people, but not these people. Because I'm telling God that he can't use these people to help me. You know what? God can use whoever he wants to use. You know, but the problem is people get in fear when they hear the facts. See, they can't handle the truth. They can't handle what the truth says. You know, but the real truth is what you believe. The real truth is that Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He took the stripes on his back for your healing. By his stripes, you were healed. That's the truth. You know, as I say in the court, you know, we want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's the truth. That's nothing but the truth. The facts are, it says that the devil, Satan, has tried to put this symptom on me. But I'm not going to accept it. In the name of Jesus, I command that every symptom, every disease, every cancerous cell, everything has to leave my body. You know, and one thing too that, you know, this has made a huge impression on me because I didn't think about this. I've never thought about this, but it's such a thing that we should all do is when I heard my mom talk about, you know, one day, you know, in her devotion times, you know, cancer really hasn't ran in our family. You know, we really didn't have a history of having cancer here or cancer there. Many families have had a history of having cancer, you know. But the fact of the matter is, my mom says, you know, and it came to her one morning, that she started talking about cancer cannot live in my body. Thank you, Father, my body's cancer-free. That's when she did, you know. Now, it's good to have that if you have a bad report to know that cancer cannot live in your body. But why don't you know, have offense instead of defense? You know, you need to tell the devil cancer cannot live in your body whenever you don't have any cancer in your body. Because, you know, the devil's a liar. He'll try to put it on you anyway. But cancer cannot live in your body. You're well, you're healthy, you're whole. The flu can't live in your body. A cold cannot live in your body. You know, I don't care how big or how small. See, that's something else. Some people say, well, it's just a small thing. I can take care of this. No, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for you to take care of your small sicknesses. He died on your cross for you to have complete and total healing. Amen. And that's what he, you know, he still believes that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants you to have complete and total healing. And it's really up to you. You can either have it or you don't, or not. Because whatever you believe, you shall have. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father, for this little message. And thank you, Father, that you'll help us to understand that we are healed. We have been healed. We are completely healed. And no matter what anyone says, or no matter, you know what our doctor report says, we have been healed and we can believe. But help us understand that doctors are not against us, but they're for us, and we can use them as a tool. And the natural and the supernatural coming together makes an explosive force for God. We thank you, Father, that you know, people, everyone out there that needs to hear this, that they'll understand when the time comes, when the devil is trying to put that sickness on them, they understand what they can do, how they can do it, and what is the truth. Father God, we also thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming to the saving knowledge of him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, lift your hand. We want to pray with you right now. If you're here, never been saved, you've never been saved. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved and walk with him. And I did that for a while, but I've kind of turned my back. I went away, but I want to come home. I want to rededicate my life to God. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I am saved. I'm a child of God, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I've never had that Acts 2:4 experience where I begin to speak other tongues. In fact, I've been kind of I don't know what this tongue thing is, and it doesn't make me comfortable. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus only brings us peace. The Holy Spirit only brings us peace. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, here tonight, and if that's you, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. We want to make sure you get the gift of God that belongs to you. Amen. I'll see your hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you if anyone is here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you'll bring laborers across their path, that they won't be able to do anything until they come to the saving knowledge of you. Christ, let me pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before we go tonight, if there's anyone here that's been struggling with sickness and you need healing, I don't care how big or how small, I don't care whether you have cancer or cold or asthma or AIDS, it doesn't really matter. If you've been struggling with sickness or disease and you've been trying to fight the good fight of faith, but you have sickness in your body right now, I want you to come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. So anyone here that needs ministered to, anyone that's sick in their body, lift your hand if you are, and you come on down. Come on, anybody else? Now, see, we have someone that broke the ice, so you're not the only one. A lot of times people don't want to come down, they don't want to be the only one. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're the only one. What matters is that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus took the stripes on his back so that you are healed. And he wants you healed. That's his desire. You know, and one way he heals is through the laying on of hands. That's why we minister to the sick. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Anybody else that needs healing, come down here. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with coming down. Nothing wrong with receiving our healing. Amen? I'm going to ask you that are standing here, I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I'm going to ask you to think only about two things, Jesus Christ and your healing. In just a few moments, I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to lay my hands upon your head. I'm going to say something. It doesn't matter what I say. What matters is that the power of God, the healing power of God, will flow into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And whenever you feel that power hit your body, I want you to say with your mouth, I take it now. I take it now. And I tell you what, at that moment, that healing power of God will flow throughout your entire body. Father God, we thank you for the healing power of God. We thank you, Father, that you love these people so much, that you died upon the cross, that you took the stripes on your back so that they are healed. And we thank you, Father, that today through faith, they are going to receive that healing power. We thank you, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that healing power will saturate them. And we thank you, Father, that they are healed. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing. We thank you, Father, for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Oh, there it is. In the name of Jesus. Receive. 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 Receive your healing now. That's it. That's it. That's it. In the name. That's it. In the name of Jesus. And then, there it is. There it is. There it is. Receive. Receive your healing now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive your healing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There it is right there. That's it, John. That's it. That's it. Right there. In the name of Jesus. Receive. That's it. There it is. There it is. Receive. Receive your healing. The healing power of God is flowing throughout your body. It's flowing. It's flowing. Affecting a healing and a cure. And walk in it. Have it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive your healing now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Yes. Amen. I want you guys to keep the switch of faith turned on. I want you to know the power of God went into your body. I want you to know the healing power is flowing through your body, that you are healed. And I don't care what the devil tried to do to you. I don't care how you feel. It's not about how you feel. I want you to understand that you are healed. If you wake up tomorrow and you feel the same, I want you to say, Mr. Devil, the healing power of God is working in my body, and I am healed. I am healed. Keep that switch of faith on her. Amen. You may go back to your seats. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen.
Yes.
We've had many testimonies right here in this church. It might be a little church, but we have great testimonies how God has healed us, how God's changed people's lives. So we've seen miracles, and it's just awesome to hear what God's doing. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget about our Super Bowl party coming up. All right. Not this next week. It's actually, what is it, February 1st. And the game begins at 5:30, all right? Now, if for some reason you can't be here at 5:30, that means you can't come. People say, well, I can't be there on time. Well, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on time or not. I mean, we're saying the game begins at 5:30. And somebody say, well, I'm not a big football fan. Well, I don't care if you're a football fan or not. Some of you, you're probably a food fan. I mean, I'm a food fan. I mean, you know, I like food. And Chris up back there, he's a double fan of food. You know, when it comes to food, you know, he wants to make sure he gets a double portion. Amen. So, you know, remember to bring a side dish or dessert. And you know, remember, you know, it's probably an easy time to bring people, you know, to church. I mean, what better say, hey, you want to come watch the Super Bowl on a big screen, you know, and get free food? Hey, that's not bad, you know, because obviously mom will have her chili, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Anything else we need to say? Amen. Well, praise God. You know how we dismiss around here? I'll be back at the door to shake your hand. If you don't want to take my hand, go out that door. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you back here next week.